Good morning.
Okay,
so are you ready for this? Are you ready for being equipped by the Holy Spirit? So the first Sunday when I looked at called, we were looking at where Jesus has called us into himself and that we really need to prioritize our relationship with him above all other relationships. And then last week I had to listen to Stefan's at home because obviously I was upstairs with the youth last week, which was great. But Stefan was teaching from Matthew chapter 28 actually on being sent and the authority on heaven and earth to make disciples of all men, that Jesus sent his followers into the world with that authority. He also talked quite a bit about when someone becomes a disciple. He was talking about steps of obedience, and he mentioned baptism, and that we're actually having baptisms in April, April the 8th, I believe. And he finished by saying that Jesus will be with us always by his Spirit, that he'll never leave us. And I thought, wow, that was a really nice bridge into this morning. So first and foremost, the Holy Spirit, I said at the beginning that we believe in the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not something, you know, vague, even though sometimes I think there are many misunderstandings of who the Holy Spirit is, but he is one of the persons in the Trinity, and he works with God the Father and the Son. They work together as the Holy Trinity. They do not do anything apart from one another. They are in sync with each other, and there is unity between them. So the Holy Spirit is involved in our calling. Actually, we cannot be called without the Holy Spirit. It will be the Holy Spirit that calls us and that does something in us so that we can recognize Jesus. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, what he also likes to do is, there are many things, there are many roles that the Holy Spirit has, but I'm going to look at three a bit later on, just three roles, all around the thing about being convicted, but just so that I can lay the groundwork there. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's not like he's convicting us and sending us to jail and locking us up. Whenever the Holy Spirit convicts us of anything in our lives, it's because he wants to bring us life. He's because Jesus Christ has come to take us from death to life. So bear that in mind, that whatever God is doing, it's always to bring us life, and not just a little bitty life, but life with a capital L, what we would call living it large. Who wants to live it large? Come on. Well, then we need the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as we step out in obedience, because there is something, you know, we choose to follow Christ. We can often ignore him for a long time before we actually step over into believing in him fully and allowing him all access into all areas of our lives. But when we are obedient, we can be absolutely, totally sure that when we step out in obedience, he is with us and he will give us the Holy Spirit to equip us, help us, and direct us. So there we go. So he prepares and equips us. So we're going to look at our first scripture this morning, which is Romans 8. If you've got your Bibles, have a look. I'm reading out of the Message version because it really says what it means. Romans 8, 9 to 11. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. So there's a thing there. When Christ is in our life, when we allow him to take up residence in our life, it changes everything. We go from just thinking about our own life, ourselves, and what we want and how we want to live our life, to going to following Christ and how he shows us to live life. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. And it may be that there are some here this morning who don't know what we're talking about. And actually, that's okay, because all of us were in that space once where, you know, I couldn't have predicted that I would be talking about this, because I didn't know anything about this one day. So, you know, you're in good company and you're among friends. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, this is amazing, I love this, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Are you feeling alive this morning? Well, if you're not, don't worry, because you're in the right place. Because there is, we know someone who can bring you life in all its fullness, and it's free. You just have to receive it. Now, you can't get that anywhere, can you? We'll do all sorts of things to try and satisfy ourselves, but only this will do it. Okay, so I just wanted to share a little bit about my experience, but only a little bit. Just this life or death moment. Years ago, over 20 years I've been coming to this church, but I was in a situation where, you know, my marriage had broke down. I was left on my own with one child and another one on the way, and I just was crying out. I was just asking God to help me in my little house. I was just saying, help me, God. You know, that's a prayer that probably all of us have said at one time, whether we believe in him or not. We've said, oh, help me, God. And this one Sunday morning, I heard, it wasn't a voice, like a booming voice, like, Sarah, go to the Baptist church. It was just, Sarah, go to the Baptist church, you know, in my head. So I phoned up and found out when the service was, and I came down. Now, I was already late, you know, I was supposed to be, I think it was 10:30, and I was expecting it to be 11. I don't know why I was expecting that, but, you know, it was at 10:30 then. So all I know is that I put my little daughter in the pram. She had been born at this point, and my other daughter, and I lived up on Hardwick, and I was walking down, and I'm telling you, I was like a woman on a mission, because inside my soul, there was something going on. Inside here, there was something going on, and I knew this was life or death. Now, how did I know that? That was the work of the Holy Spirit, because I wouldn't have known that. There's no way that I would have known that. But I could feel the life and death bit going on inside of me. I was so afraid. But do you know what? All I know is that the Holy Spirit was at work in my life then. And what he was doing, which absolutely blows my mind, is the same Holy Spirit there knew that I would be here today doing what I'm doing, because he planned in advance good works for me to do, and he's equipped me for those good works. So you here today, there are some of you that you don't know what you're supposed to be doing for God, and I didn't have a clue either, but he will make that known to you. You will know what it is that you're supposed to be doing for God, but we're not really looking at what we're doing for God this morning. We're looking at what he's done for us and how we respond, and how we can live following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he knew back then that I would be here today. He did. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we were originally intended to do, which our main purpose is to bring glory to God. That's what our main purpose is. And so the ultimate determiner of being a follower of Jesus is the Holy Spirit taking up residence in our lives. How do we get the Holy Spirit in our lives? Through the work of the cross. Without Jesus, we can be, the Holy Spirit is around. Don't get me, he's around. He will be trying to speak to us, he'll be trying to call us, he'll be prompting us, but without Jesus, we don't get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's through the work of the cross that we've been singing about this morning. So when we come to Christ and accept him as our Lord and Saviour, we are born again, and the Spirit takes up residence in our life. Now, I think today I'm going to be speaking to many people. There could be some of you here that aren't born again yet. Well, the good news is you can be. So in John 3:5-8, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. No one can explain how people are born of the Spirit without the Spirit. No one will understand it until their eyes are opened, right? It's the Spirit. Can we see him? Can we see the Holy Spirit? Can we see the Holy Spirit? Can you see him? Actually, I must admit that when I was sat there, I saw this little bubble. I thought it was a bubble coming along, and I was thinking, well, what is that? But it was obviously a reflection of my glasses of those lights. So I thought, he's coming in a bubble. No, he's not a bubble. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. That's how my mind works. But we can see his effects. We can see his effects. We can see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. And he compares it to the wind in, you know, Jesus said that there. He compares it to the wind. When we start living for the glory of God, so when we've become a Christian, when we've responded to the call on our lives to follow Jesus, and then when we're born again, and even though we're born again and we have that deposit is in us, but we need to, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and so he can, you know, back off from us. But actually, we have the Holy Spirit, and it's okay to keep asking God for more and more of the Holy Spirit, because guess what? Our God is the God, the only God, and there is always more. There is no end to his kingdom. So if we have the kingdom of God within us, we need to choose to believe, we need to have the faith and trust to say that yes, he is in me, he's with me every day. I can avail myself of the Holy Spirit and he will dwell in me. But he doesn't just want to dwell in me and me sit down somewhere. When we take steps of obedience, when we listen to what he's saying and we respond and take steps of obedience, we actually learn to exercise our faith muscle. But what we also learn is we learn that we can trust him. We can learn that he will always show up for us. He will always show up for you. So when we start living to the glory of God, that changes everything. It changes how we think. We can actually have the mind of Christ. If we have the Spirit of Christ, we can have the mind of Christ. Whew. How do you talk about that? Having the mind of Christ. How we eat and drink, how we grieve even, how we work, how we rest, how we play, what we do with our money, how we conduct our relationships. Every area of our life is affected. We can't have access this area, Holy Spirit, access this area of my life, Lord, but don't access this area. It's access all areas, Jesus. Access all areas. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Because me, myself, and I will always go the wrong way. We will. We're naturally predisposed to do that. Yeah, to want things our way, to arrange our life so that it fits in with what we want. But no, when we follow Christ, everything changes and our life is now being beautifully orchestrated and arranged by Christ the Holy Spirit. And every single step of that will be to bring us life, but not just to bring us life, because you see, when we have that life in us, the Holy Spirit, the living water, when we go about our business, wherever we are through the week, even here, we can give that life. People can see the life, actually. They may not be able to articulate what it is, but they're just like, wow, how can that person go through that and still be smiling? How can that person be so generous when they don't really have much? How can they do that? Because you see, that's not what we would usually do, is it? It's because of the Holy Spirit, because we're sealed in him. Okay, all of us will have similarities as people, but we have a lot of differences as well. And as we navigate our lives, one of the things is that we can't tell by looking on the outside who has the Holy Spirit and who doesn't. We can't, can we? I can't tell now by looking at you guys, you know. There's no little bubbles floating about resting on the heads of those that have got the Holy Spirit. I can't tell who's got. Now, I know some of you who have the Holy Spirit. I do, because I spend time with you, so I know that. But we can't tell just by looking. But when you spend enough time with someone, what you will observe is only a true follower of Jesus Christ, who has been born of the Spirit and has the Spirit working in their life, only they will then start living for the glory of God. And that is the most fulfilling life for us. God knows what's best for us. Now, I'm just going to go through three roles that the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit has many roles, and Jesus in John 16 has specified three roles that he... Actually, I said about the convict. Remember, what's the convict? I said about convicts. When he convicts us, what is it that he's doing? He's not sending us to jail. He's bringing us to life. And actually, to be fair, what Christ has done on the cross, he's given us a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because, you know, the penalty of sin is death. We deserve death, but Jesus, through Jesus, we have life. I love this stuff. Okay, so the first thing, the first area of life that he convicts us of is in the area of fulfillment. What's fulfilling us? And what will fulfill us is Jesus, not sin. And we could say that sin, we'll think that sin is like really bad things that we could get up to, but sin is actually anything that pulls us away from having our fulfillment in God. That's what sin is. Anything that pulls us away from God, that's sin. And it's not fulfilling for us. And he knows it's not fulfilling for us. He's provided Jesus for us so that we can have life in what? Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. So if we can have it to the full, we can have a fulfilling life through Christ. We all know, don't we? We do try, don't we? We all try to have to fulfill ourselves in different ways, and we know that it doesn't work because we can't save ourselves. Nothing that we go to other than God is going to give us fulfillment in our life. We will try, but it's not going to work. You see, sin is the opposite of belief. Sin leads to death, but belief leads to life. So who are you believing in this morning? That's one of the questions. And in Romans 14:23, it says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So trust the Father's design for you. Belief and life are connected. Belief and life are connected. The next area is our identity. In John 16:10, it says that Jesus... If you look at that, Jesus is the way to a right relationship with God. Jesus is the only way. Not our way. Not our way of trying to make it right with God by perhaps doing good things occasionally. No, that doesn't cut it. That does not cut it. Not our works of righteousness. How do you define who you are? Most of us define ourselves. If someone said to me, well, oh, hello, who are you? I'm Sarah. We would then say, oh, what do you do? We define ourselves usually by what we do and actually how we behave. I remember once someone said something to me and I said, well, I'm a good girl. Most of the time. Okay. More often than not nowadays. But that doesn't cut it either. Sarah being a good girl... That righteousness, it means nothing. It's nothing. That's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is not part of our identity. Our identity is in Christ, which is why I would recommend that you, if you haven't done the Freedom in Christ course, that you do it, so that you can really find out who you are in Christ, because that's who you really are. All the other stuff that you pretend to be, that's not really you. The you that God created you to be can only be found in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Okay. Jesus is the only way. And actually, Jesus spoke most harshly, when you read the Gospels, Jesus spoke most harshly to the self-righteous religious crowd. The Holy Spirit is continuously exposing the inadequacy of our actions. I love that. We cannot bridge the gap by works. We cannot. So everybody just take a breather. I love that. I love that I don't have to try hard. I love that that's not the basis on why God loves me. God loves me because I'm me. If I did nothing ever again, God would still love me. That's the basis. That's the basis. That's how he views me. And do you know what? When you know that, that changes your life. That changes your life. We're often trying to prove our worth, but we don't have to, because we are so valuable in his sight. We are worth everything to him. We are worth so much that he gave his only son so that we could be in relationship with him. That's how much he values you. You are so valuable and precious in his sight. Religion says do. Grace says done. He has already done it. There is a difference between pleasing God and earning his favour. God has given us favour through Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, we've all been favoured and we've all been graced. So we are obeying, not because we have to or feel like we ought to. We're doing it to please the one who loved us first. And the next area is our discernment. The Holy Spirit says Jesus is the truth. So the wisdom of Jesus is what we need, not what we think we need or what you know, other opinions that we hear or listen to in the world, what the newspapers, what the magazines say that we need. We need to be clear on what the truth is. And the wisdom of Jesus is what are the paths of life, not the paths of death. Because it says in the Bible that the path of the righteous, which we are when we choose to follow Christ, the path of the righteous leads to life. It doesn't lead to death, it leads to life. One of my life verses that I pretty much say every morning is, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, because I've put my trust in you, and you will lead me, you will show me the way to go. He will show me the way to go and lead me on paths of righteousness that will lead to life, not death. Now, that's not to say that we have to put to death some of the things in us that aren't bringing us life. But God will always bring us life. So, how are we going to apply this? I'm aware that some of us may have the Holy Spirit this morning and some of us may not. Some of us may feel equipped and are equipped to fulfill the original purpose we were made for, and some of us may not be. Only the Holy Spirit can give us the life we were always destined for. So those areas that I've just spoken about, the fulfillment, where are you finding your fulfillment? Is it in your relationship with Christ? He's the only way. Maybe that's something for you to take a step into today. And what about your identity? Who are you believing in terms of who you are? Do you talk? We all tend to, in fact, the person that we listen to the most is ourselves, because in our heads we have this voice going round and round. So about 80%, I read that somewhere actually, that 80% of what we listen to is ourselves. Oh, gosh. 80%. So this is where the renewing of the mind comes in. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things, and that includes who you really are. He'll teach you who you really are so that you can say life over yourself instead, speak life over yourself and others instead of death, because it's all about life, okay? And discernment, we need to know the truth. We need to know which way to go. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if we're not, I think we're walking on like actually not very solid ground. I'll tell you now, I would not want to go into some of the situations that I have to go into without knowing that the Holy Spirit is with me. How about you? Do you feel like that? You know, sometimes we're scared, but the Holy Spirit, what? He gives us not fear. He gives us love and peace and a sound mind. So we need him. We need the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 11:13, what is very clear, and what I know to be true, is that God longs to give the Holy Spirit to his people. And all we have to do is ask. If we don't ask, we don't get. That was one of the things that my mum used to always say to me, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I believe in asking for lots of things, but I definitely believe in going to the Father and asking him for more of the Holy Spirit, because I know I have faith and trust, and I know that if I ask him for the Holy Spirit, he's going to show up for me. He showed up for me now. I wouldn't stand up here in front of you and speak if I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have the courage. But he always shows up for me without fail, always. And I believe that he will do that. He shows up. But he doesn't just show up for me. He's shown up for you today. He's here with us. What the Spirit will do actually is sometimes up to him. But I'm aware that while I've been speaking, I believe that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. I believe that there's been something, for some of you, there might be little things going on in your heart, or you might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable, and that's normal. That's normal, but the Holy Spirit comes to bring you life. And actually, we should not doubt that he will do that. We should not doubt that he will give his Spirit to all that seek him, and that he'll enable us to uniquely, to live uniquely, to bring glory to God. So inviting the Holy Spirit to begin working within us. Some of you may have decided to follow Christ, but you feel like you're lacking the Holy Spirit. Well, all you need to do is ask. It's that simple. All you need to do is ask for the Holy Spirit. He's here permanently. Take the first step and trust him. So this morning, we want to be followers of Christ, not just today, but every day, who are living by the Spirit, where we're sure of who we are, sure of our identity, sure of what the Spirit has come to do. So if you're not sure this morning, actually, if the band want to come up, because I'm aware that I'm closing the service as well today. So all I want to say is that, you know, sometimes we need to respond, and sometimes we need to respond here in the moment. Not so that, you know, you can go away and forget about it, but if you feel that you would like to have more of the Holy, if you don't know Christ yet and you can feel that he's calling you this morning, then just come up as the band is playing. Just come up as we enter into worship. If you are a believer already, and you know that you've been trying to live life differently to how God has intended for you, then you come up too. If you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life, you come up too. I think, to be fair, I think we probably all need to be up here. Okay? So, but that's okay. I think we all need the Holy Spirit one way or another. Well, guess what? You need him, you can have him. Don't be shy. Be courageous. Take a step of obedience. Do that this morning. In Jesus' name. Let him put the fire back into you. Let him bring you life this morning.